John 6 and from verse 34, "Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The Jews then murmured at him, because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Verse 47, Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness, and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Now, with the discourse that the Lord takes up following what has happened in the earlier chapters, he looks at and twice has mentioned of the manna in the wilderness. Our fathers did eat manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. And the Lord explains to them, it wasn't Moses that gave him the bread, it was God who gave the bread, and then explains to them that he's the true bread from heaven. In the bread, or the manna, that was given to the folks in the wilderness journey, the bread was sustaining their life here on this scene. It was the small round thing that was upon the desert that God gave to them. The interesting thing is that with the bread that God gave them, they had sufficient, but it never satisfied them. It never completely satisfied them. It sustained them. Because at one stage they murmured, our soul loatheth this light bread. Now, perhaps if we think about that and how we would be in the same circumstances, we may understand just what they experienced. Because God was teaching his people, he was able to sustain them, and it was teaching them also something that they would not have perceived, that we in retrospect we can perceive, that the bread represented our Lord Jesus Christ, who's the true bread from heaven. And the Lord said, you'll never thirst, you'll never hunger, you'll be satisfied with the bread that I give you. Even though they weren't completely satisfied, it sustained them, but they would have preferred to have what they had in Egypt. Now, the amount of bread that they gathered was equal to about, as we might say, we older folks would understand what about 6 points would mean. That's about 3/4 of a gallon per day each one was to have, which is about, or just over 3 litres. So every person could have about 3 litres of that food per day. Now, I'm pretty easy satisfied as far as food, because I like it all. And I've always got to be the other way. I don't like too scrumptious looking. And I don't like cooking too much, because when I do cook, then I'm very keener to eat more. So I've never ever been, as a child, I was always so very fussy because I was always sick, had asthma and always in and out of hospital with pneumonia and everything. And I remember my mother would have a roast and I'd have to even cut the fat off roast. So you know how much meat would be left if you cut fat off roast. But with the folks gathering this manna, I think if my wife every day set up 3 litres of this manna for night, and then in the morning, and then for lunch, I think I might be getting like the children of Israel and saying, my soul is loathing this light bread. But of course they made it in different ways, you see. They were able to make it look more scrumptious than at other times. My wife, as the Greens would understand, when they were younger folks, her father had an eczema problem, and for many, many weeks he was not able to work. It was as a result of the injections from the army days, and being allergic to it and the problems he suffered from it, and was not able to work there for quite a long time. And they really felt the pinch for food, and Dad said that at one stage there was a lot of mushrooms had come out, and of course they had a lot of those chocos. And she said her mother would make chocos one way, chocos another way, chocos another way, and but they survived, and she hasn't done too bad from it. But I think if we understand the light bread and what they understood only as, we see that about 3 litres or 6 pints for each person, then we see how God provided for them. Because you see, 6 pints, or just over 6 pints, is looking at about 7.5 gallons. 6 pints for 10 people, right? So it works out to about 60 people to a 45 gallon or 44 gallon drum. So 60 people would have enough food in a 45 or 44 gallon drum for one day only. Now David's got trucks. I don't know how many 44 gallon drums he'd get on a load. There were 600,000 men who were able to go to war. So that's 10,000 44 gallon drums of this manna, just for the men of war. But then, if you count their wives, you're looking at 20,000 drums. And if they've had children, which there surely was, you start to look at the amount of food that God provided for them day by day. But on the Sabbath, on the sixth day, he gave them twice as much. So if you're looking at 40,000 drums, 44 gallon drums of manna, on the sixth day you're looking at 80,000 drums. So you're looking at train loads, Mr. Green, wouldn't you? How many trains would carry that amount of manna that God provided for his people every day till they came to eat of the good food, the old corn of the land, when they come across the Jordan. So you see, they had a lot of food for a lot of years, and you could understand them grumbling, couldn't you? You could understand the children. We look at this young fellow here and say, how would he feel if every breakfast and every dinner and every tea mum dished the same meal for him every day of his life? But what God was teaching his people, his sufficiency, but he was teaching them to be satisfied and content with what he could do for them. Nothing was too hard for him. So they had no food, and they said, have you brought us out and we're going to die here? But no, God had his reserve, and he was able to sustain them for all those years. But the Lord said to the people that they'd be satisfied, they wouldn't hunger. They would not hunger. And even though they hungered, they were dissatisfied. Yet those who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, now, as we all know, sometimes we have our disappointments, and to have times when you might be grumbling, we all have it. But the Lord can satisfy us. The thing that I'm building a model of the tabernacle, and how I thought of the tabernacle was that God, when he brought his people out, he wanted them so that he could commune and dwell among them. And those people, they never had to go to work as we are doing today. How would we feel not only getting bread every day, but that we had no other prospect, no other drive or motive in life other than every day of our life to gather our food and then have offerings to bring to God? Not to have a purpose or saying, I'd like to succeed, like to have some initiative to keep me going. Sometimes when you get down and you don't feel like the drive's there. But they had no other purpose than other to please God, to bring offerings in the wilderness to him. Of a morning, each morning was the same, to go and gather food. And then to be occupied with God every day of their life, all that time, without another motive to say what good can happen to us, or what can we achieve, or where can we go. God could satisfy, and through what was symbolized to them, the Lord Jesus could take up with the word of showing that he's the true bread. As the little round pieces fell, they were round, they spoke of the Lord, they were like honey to the taste, but they were a small round thing. And of course we know that that speaks to us of the Lord Jesus Christ, the small round thing, the one who was not great and significant in the eyes of this world at the time. And no rough edges on him. No rough edges. Round, smooth. And the taste like honey. And that's how the bread of life is to us. The word of God. We have other motives. We have other drives in our life as well. But we can still be content with a portion from the Lord, from his word. That helps us just to continue in our life. The doesn't mean to say that great things might be going for us, that we're able to be settled and just take a portion and be satisfied with it, that we don't hunger no more. It's very interesting for us when we get saved and that, is to understand that we've got satisfaction we've reached something that we can be satisfied with. But then the training comes in to help us and to teach us to be satisfied in our life here for the Lord. And some of it's rough too. Because as we go on in this chapter, we look at some things that happened and how it affected some of the believers, some of his disciples. Now, verse 58, this is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is a hard saying, who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, does this offend you? What, and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me, except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back, and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and assure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. Now, here's some things that are hard, the hard word or hard saying. And as a result of these things, some of his disciples, it says they walk no more with him. You see, in the wilderness, God wanted to dwell amongst his people and to have them occupied every day with him. That is, to bring offerings to him and to be content. They had no other drive in life other than were satisfied with God here in the wilderness and moving from point to point. But here, some would walk no more with him. They didn't give in easy. It was a hard saying. There were hard words. That is, hard to be understood. And some things in our life are very hard for us to understand sometimes. You know, Paul, in the shipwreck, Paul suffered not just three shipwrecks. He wrote in Corinthians of three shipwrecks, thrice I've suffered a shipwreck. But then the last one is the one when he goes to Rome, and that's the one we learn of how he handled himself in the storm and in a shipwreck. Now, Paul was not at this time a younger man, getting older, and yet he's in, and the ship is wrecked, and they're swimming for their lives to get to shore. He's had to endure something hard because the Lord allowed it. There were folk to be reached for the gospel. They were hard things, but Paul never gave up. It said he laid low there for a fortnight, but then he spoke and he encouraged them, and then he gave thanks to God in the presence of 276 sailors and soldiers and prisoners, and they'd have all listened. Before, no one was prepared to listen to a prisoner, but they went through the storm and they listened to him, but then they went through the shipwreck. Now, if Paul had packed it in and said, I don't know what's going to happen to me. It's too much has happened to us. But he had three shipwrecks before, you see. And he might have failed in some of those shipwrecks, but he never failed in this shipwreck, and he was able to do what God had for him to do. And we might fail in some of the shipwrecks that happen to us. I speak very carefully on this because we all know the pressure sometimes. We've got great men like the Apostle Peter. If ever I had, as a young man, we had a bit of trouble, and there was only five of us had gone to this place, and there was 17 or 18 of these other men there, and the trouble started, and the one man had come over to me and said, "Any rate, there's only four of you men," and meaning we'll all turn and jump into you four blokes. And one of our fellows who was with us, who'd never ever put his hand up in his life, stood up straight beside me and said, "There's five." And it turned the tide, and I couldn't believe it. I looked at that, and did I learn something from that? There was a man who didn't have anything, but he was prepared to stay and stand when the trouble was on. And the hard thing, as Peter, was a man who, if you'd have been in trouble, you'd have said, I'd like to have had the Apostle Peter with me. Because he was the first one to try and defend the Lord, you know. When they all come out, Peter was no slouch. But the thing was, Peter still failed. Even though in the crisis time he'd have been able to handle many things. But when the flesh had come to the end of itself, instead of the one man standing forward and saying there's five, Peter failed. And he failed at the most crucial time. Don't ever think you fail when things are not at a crucial time, because that's when the greatest pressure is on. It seems that Satan is so arrayed when there's crisis time. And Peter failed, but he came back to the Lord. David failed, and it could have been 12 months, because the prophet said to him, "The son that is born unto you will die." So don't think sometimes that straight away you're in the attitude of being able to be right with God, because sometimes you're not. But David still stayed there, you see, and hard things have happened, and it wasn't because of the Lord allowed it. It just happened. Things do happen. Then we've got with Peter. Peter, even though he failed in that crucial time, yet we've got something just coming. If Peter had have drawn back and said, "I failed, I'm finished with, I'm no good anymore," what would have happened on the day of Pentecost? The Lord had Peter there, and the right attitude, and probably knocking some of those sharp edges off him, you see, and the pride, and the conscious natural ability that the man had. He'd failed. We've got a lady, Naomi, and things were hard. They're hard things. There was a famine in the land. And what happened to her? All those things that had happened till she was lost of her husband, her son, that she said, "I'm going back to Jerusalem." And what happened? It just happened that it was at the time of barley harvest. It just happened that Ruth came into the field of Boaz. And what happened to Naomi? It says she became a nurse under the babe. And often, that's what happens when there's failure. God is teaching his people to be as Paul was, a nurse. He was able to nurse God's people. A nurse. And that's what all of us, I suppose, in a measure, God helps us to be nurses, because it's so essential for us. And we all go through things, some harder than others. Naomi, Paul went through things, Peter went through deep things, but still Peter went on. And sometimes it takes deep trials for us to learn that. I've got a poem here that many of you would have read, and it reminds me just of that instance when things go wrong, as they sometimes will, when the road you're trudging seems all uphill, when the funds are low and the debts are high and you want to smile but you have to sigh. When care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but don't quit. Success is failure turned inside out. The silver tint of the clouds of doubt, and you never can tell how close you are. It may be near when it seems afar. So stick to the fight when your heart is fit. It's when things go wrong that you nothing quit. And life's bitterest disappointments are often God's appointments. But if one, because of the great disappointment, fail, then God's appointments have been missed. I think that's very real. Here's the disciples. They walk no more with him. They couldn't keep up. And Peter failed at that time. It would have been his most saddest time in his life, looking back and saying, when the Lord needed me most, I wasn't there. And how we can say that ourselves often. But we might be like Paul. We might have 3 shipwrecks and nothing mentioned of them. It might be the 4th one where we're needed and where we might be able to not fail at that time. And so looking at the chapter, the bread of life, the satisfaction, and walking with him, and I'm only young compared to many of our older brethren, and talking like that, I've been through some experiences, but we can take help from our older folks who have stuck to the guns and stuck to the fight when their heart is sick, when they can't understand what has happened to them and why these things happen. Why me? That Johnny Erickson, the girl who is paraplegic or quad, what a beautiful woman, and beautiful things in her life have turned out to be, and she's just stuck to it, hasn't she? Whereas many of us would have given it up, I think. I would have. But like giving it away to be damaged like that physically. But her spirit was still there. And I heard some of the songs, the record that she made yesterday, reminded me of her still staying with it. Even though it might look as though that everything's gone, but it was time for her to keep going, and she stuck